Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about some of the coolest science news, including new research on preserving fertility for cancer patients. First, today in Detroit, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump gave a speech outlining his economic plan for the nation. On Thursday, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton will unveil her plan in a major address, also in Detroit. Trump laid out several tax and trade reforms, which he said would do great things for the United States.
The reforms I have outlined today are only the beginning. When we reform our tax, trade, energy, and regulatory policies, we will open a new chapter in American prosperity, which is so desperately needed. We need a new chapter.
David Wessel is with us to talk about Donald Trump's outline of a plan and to preview what Hillary Clinton's plan might look like. He's director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Well, before we get to the what of the plan, let's start with the where. Both candidates this week unveiling their economic agendas in Detroit. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, isn't that a great coincidence? I think Detroit has become a symbol of all the weaknesses of the U.S. economy, a city that went bankrupt, that is shrinking, once had a lot of manufacturing jobs, and now doesn't. So I think both candidates are trying to say, in their own way, I want to restore the hardest hit parts of America to prosperity.
And let's talk about the trade side of his agenda. He said Trans-Pacific Partnership rejected, at least as currently stated, the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, renegotiated. He's talked pretty tough on trade in this campaign. What do you make of what he's saying about trade?
Well, I think a number of things come to mind. One is he's clearly challenging the orthodoxy of the Republican Party, which has long argued, as have many centrist Democrats, that trade hurts some people, but overall it's good for the economy. He doesn't seem to buy that. But secondly, I think he's identified a real anxiety among American workers that somehow we're getting a raw deal, and that the people who are hurt by trade, and some people are, the people who lose jobs because it's cheaper to make stuff overseas, have not been compensated. We economists pay a lot of lip service to how we're going to have compensation and adjustment assistance, but it hasn't been up for the task. And finally, I think he's pinpointing trade. He's accusing trade of things that have to do with a lot more changes in the economy than just globalization.
And he's accusing his opponent, Hillary Clinton, of being responsible for some of this. Here's a listen to what he had to say about Hillary Clinton and the TPP.
Hillary Clinton will never withdraw from TPP. She is bought, controlled, and paid for by her donors and special interests, 100%.
Now, this debate over trade in the United States goes back at least as far as Andrew Jackson and the tariff disputes of that time, probably before that. Why is this something that keeps coming up in American politics?
Well, I think that things are really different than they were in the 19th century when tariffs were really the way the government financed itself. And a lot of what went on in Congress was tension between people who bought imports and people who competed with imports. I think right now what's going on is pretty clear. We live in a very rapidly globalizing economy, and people feel that we've somehow lost control, and they assign to globalization all the problems of wage stagnation, of which we're all too familiar.
Is it right to assign that much blame to trade? Some people have said, well, part of the reason there are fewer manufacturing jobs is mechanization. One worker is so much more efficient now than they used to be thanks to recent technology.
Absolutely. Clearly, more than one thing's going on. A lot of stuff that has affected workers involves technology. But it's a lot easier to be angry at the Chinese than to be angry at your iPhone. And so I think it's easy to demonize immigrants, foreign companies, foreign countries, and that's what Trump is doing. And I think Hillary Clinton has had a hard time responding because Mr. Trump is correct. She has been part of this movement, and now she's trying to say, oh, I'll pull out of TPP, and people are saying, well, you know, you were against it now, but you were for it before, and they remember that Bill Clinton was against NAFTA and then implemented it.
Talking to David Wessel from the Brookings Institution, Donald Trump spoke on the economy today in Detroit. Hillary Clinton expected to speak on similar issues Thursday, also in Detroit. Moving away from trade, David, Donald Trump talked about things like cutting back on regulation, cutting taxes, simplifying the tax code. This sounds as much like normal Republican stuff as we've heard from Donald Trump lately, doesn't it?
Yes, but normal Republican stuff often involves cutting taxes, as he's proposed, and restraining government spending on various benefit programs like Medicare and Social Security. And so he's buying the tax cut agenda. In fact, he's essentially dropped his original tax plan and is now kind of embracing one that has been put together by House Republicans. But he, in contrast to Paul Ryan, expresses no interest and, in fact, criticizes the idea that we need to restrain spending on entitlements.
So what does that do if we're worried about annual budget deficits and the overall debt?
It means that Trump's plan, as he outlines it, would mean a massive increase in the federal debt. I don't have a number. There were some estimates about $9.5 trillion more debt over 10 years, but he's since modified his plan. But basically, his plan is to cut taxes for pretty much everybody who pays income taxes, which is about half the population. About 60% of the people pay income taxes, and not decrease at all the services we get from government. No cuts in the FBI, no cuts in Social Security or Medicare, no cuts in the national parks. Somehow he thinks he's going to get the allies to pay more of our defense bill. Well, if you collect less in revenue and you don't spend less in government programs, you're going to run up a huge debt, which is why this will never happen. And if it did, it would probably really hurt the American economy.
And Trump also announced a plan to make child care spending tax deductible, saying he's working on a plan with his daughter Ivanka and some economic experts. Who is this appeal pitched at, do you think?
Well, I think it's obviously a pitched at particularly working women, where we know he's vulnerable. That's Hillary Clinton has a lot more support among women. I think, you know, it's very appealing to say we're going to make it easier for people to pay for child care. There are no details here. And if all you do is make all child care expenses deductible, that would actually benefit upper income people and their nannies a lot more than the working poor who may not pay any income tax at all or who pay at a lower tax rate. So we don't really know what this plan is. I guess I would say that if I were trying to devise the wisest possible child care tax break, I probably would have somebody other than Ivanka Trump developing it, but we'll have to see what he comes up with.
We spent most of our time talking about Donald Trump and what he had to say today. Hillary Clinton, as we said, talking Thursday on the economy. What do we know about what she said about her economic plan so far?
Well, in contrast to Donald Trump, she has this very methodical way of saying, if I'm going to spend money on this, then I'm going to raise taxes on that. If I'm going to have a tax break here, I'm going to have a tax increase there. So her plan would not deal with our long-term debt problem at all, but it does prevent it from getting worse. That's the first thing. Secondly, she wants to use the tax code and the power of the government budget to reduce inequality in the U.S., to reduce the gap between those at the top and those at the bottom. That is not one of Mr. Trump's priorities, and his tax plan is, as best we can understand it, would be bigger tax breaks for people at the top. Both of them seem to have fallen in love with the idea of spending more money, federal money, on building infrastructure. He says he'd spend twice as much as her. I think she's going to develop some proposals this week, unless we're told, that might what incentives she'll provide to increase business investment, which has been a weak spot in our recovery. But I think she's going to try and answer his themes and say, I have the same goals as Donald Trump, more jobs, more growth, more prosperity, but I have a realistic way to do it, and he doesn't.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's David Wessel, director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. Joins us to talk about economic plans from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton as they're being laid out in speeches this week.